Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today, we are talking about dreams, and not the kind that are your hopes and dreams, but your literal dreams while you're sleepy. We're going to talk about why you have them, what they actually mean, and what's going on inside that little brain of yours. I don't know why I'm talking like
that. Drag them all.
I'm trying a new voice.
Drag them all with the little brains.
I meant, you know, little cute little brains is what I meant. I didn't mean like a little brain. Little things can do big things, you know? So just little doesn't mean bad, okay? I wasn't insulting our listeners.
And like our penis episode, it's not about the size. It's about the motion of the ocean.
Yeah, it's the way you use it.
It's the way you slam it in and you pull it out.
So okay. True of the brain, the way you use it. Oh, not the slam it out part.
I'm kind of like, what am I doing? Why am I saying that? This is disgusting.
We're trying on different voices, okay? This podcast is a chance for us, especially me, as the non-comic, to experiment with my voice.
Wow. Oh, my God. Someone's been reading some sort of book or something.
What?
Some sort of Oprah Evolve Your Voice book or something. Now I'm like, what am I? What was that?
Yeah.
That
was, I think you're experimenting, too. Yeah.
Well, doing a podcast is insane. Like, you just, like, I was like, okay, Mitch, here we go. I press it. And then you're like, it's the brain. Like, it's like you have to kind of, like, turn it on.
The beginning is always awkward because it is sort of performative.
Yeah.
It's sort of, you know, now you're on. Literally, there's a button that goes red once we start recording.
And the little music goes.
And then I'm like, hey, now I got to get this really succinctly so everyone knows we're going to have a good time.
But, okay. Tune in next week. We're going to try it again. And we're going to, like, hit the button, and I'm gonna look at you, and I'm gonna be like say it like very placid, as if, like, you were ordering a coffee.
We're talking about whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you've been on Big Brother, so it's like a testimonial Big Brother energy. That, like, and then he came up to me, and I said, "You better get off, or you're HOH," or something like that.
And then they go, "Actually, could you say it again?" And then you've said it 10 times by the time you like use that take, and you're like, "Of course, that doesn't sound natural."
Yeah, and anyway. So that makes sense.
We were just talking about time and schedules right before we got on.
Yeah, I love a schedule. If you're crazy and you want to call it that, I love a schedule.
Do people? I think British people say schedule, right?
And they also spell tire with a Y.
In Britain? I thought that was Australian.
Oh, well, I mean, you know.
Maybe. You never know.
Like Australia, colonies. Britain, the colonies, and as Canada, we're the quirky outliers.
Or we're just so American.
But I wrote tire on the whiteboard once when I was teaching with an I, and everyone was like, you spelled it wrong, sir. It's a Y. And I was like, shut up, you dumb kids, okay? You're pulling my, you're taking the mick. And then it turned out I was actually wrong, and I spelled it with a Y.
It's so weird to see it with a Y. I mean, I guess that makes tire.
Like fire festival.
Oh, but also fire is spelled with an I normally. So
Ja Rule, it can be either way. So cool. He was like, fire festival.
I saw someone describe the Ontario vaccine rollout as fire festival.
Oh, no.
And then they were like showing the pictures of the sandwiches. Like, yeah. It was like everyone gets this when they get the vaccine.
Oh, no.
Oh, so brutal. But back to time. I have a much more fluid sense of, like, scheduling and timing, and you like to be very diligent about your schedule. So we were having a bit of a thing before this because Greg had chosen a time, and then when that time came, I was like, yeah, well, I'm just going to have a little bit of a break and a lay down and see what happens.
Yeah, and then I got to take a little phone call.
Yeah, then my dad called, and I was like, oh, we're going to talk to my dad now. And so,
which is like, fine, but it's so funny just because I am such a different person where, like, it gives me so much anxiety the whole time. I'm just like, and it's sad because maybe if my dad called, I'd be like, well, actually, I'll call you back later because I'm busy. But it's like, I'm not technically busy. I could do this later.
I love how you're like, which is fine, except it's psycho.
Well, I think people can fall into and relate to both and might identify as one or the other. And I schedules make me feel less anxious, whereas, I don't know, do they make you feel more anxious?
I think they definitely help me. I've learned over time I don't like the idea of schedules, but I tend to be happier when there is some sense of structure. So I don't love having to feel like there's so much that has to fit in my day, but I do find if I don't have any structure and no schedule, my day can go by and be wasted, and then I feel unhappy.
Oh, see, that is my worst nightmare.
But so for me, there's probably some happy medium where, like, I get overwhelmed when I look at our calendar sometimes, and it's like every hour there's something different.
Makes me horny.
I love the idea of, and we kind of laugh about this sometimes because I'd say on the surface you're more, what's the word,
like spontaneous
okay, as a human energy, but I think maybe I am a little more spontaneous in that I just kind of wait to see. Like, you'll always be like, what's your plan today? And I'll be like, I actually haven't decided yet.
And then I literally look away and I'm like, well, he's psycho. And then I go back and I'm like, well, I have cleaned it. Like I factor in like arrest. Like
arrest? Arrest.
I'll literally put on my notes like 20 minutes of, like, I don't know. No, do what
psychotic.
You want.
That's psychotic.
No, but then I don't get out of control. And then it is psychotic. I have my lists on lists on lists. And I also love sometimes, like, when I get my list started at like 11 a.m. and like maybe I've already gone on a run and maybe I've already brushed my teeth or something, and I'm like,
that's
run,
on your list.
X, brush teeth well, X, put on deodorant, X, and I'm just like, list, oh, like, I'll even retroactively feel like, I love the ticking of a box.
Yeah, it is satisfying for sure. Lists are useful. I use lists, but much more like, oh, we'll see when I get to that. But it's on my list. And very much my weekends are like, I would rather get there and then figure out what I'm feeling like. Maybe we've talked about this in therapy, how I, like, tend to feel. Like, I have to be, maybe I'm less in tune with it or more in tune with it. I'm not sure. But in the moment, I need to feel what I want. So if it's days ahead, I don't know what I'm going to feel like on Friday. So I wait till Friday to be like, what do I feel like today? And then I make my plan.
Whereas I've never thought about what I feel like ever.
You don't feel.
I'm just like, wait, what do you mean? What do I feel like? It says on the schedule that we should be doing the podcast. And now we're 45 minutes late and all I feel is anxiety.
Oh my God, no, that's exciting for you. You could just put in your calendar, feel happy. And then you'd be like, oh my God, I feel happy now. Would that work for you?
I'm like putting like a little, like, tick the box, 20 minutes of feeling happy. No, that would not. I feel like that would go so south. I would just like stare at a wall and be like, so this all ends. What is thine consciousness? All right, let's get into what did we learn before we go off. And this episode becomes about schedules.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Mine is about cognitive empathy. Today.
Okay. Yeah, that relates.
Does it?
I kind of thought it was.
See, like,
you were doing the voice thing where I was like, he's doing something that's making me be like, oh, it's a reference to what was just said. But no, that was just like the intro of like, this is it.
Yeah, it's a new section. And I'm like, okay, there's no natural way to just start talking about something different without getting there.
Okay, right? Okay. Do it. Okay, do it again. Do it again as if there's not a crazy microphone in front of our mouth right now and a camera and a freaking circle light. And we're sitting here.
Computers.
And we have like a glass of wine and it's Friday and you're like,
okay, it would be like, oh, I read a really cool study about cognitive empathy the other day. Do you want me to tell you about it?
I don't know what, maybe it's just because of the thought, but in my head, I think I might be like, are you talking? No, you would say that.
It would be hard to bring up. That's what I'm saying. No matter what, it's unnatural to bring up something you've planned to bring up.
Yeah.
Because most things, when you speak extemporaneously, love that word,
holy
by the way,
shit, that was big.
Is that you just say the things that come into your mind and they come out. Whereas this is on a notepad I've written. So I have to find a way to say it. And so it's kind of a performative style to say it in a certain way. So you know I'm not being absolutely insane by bringing this up and changing the subject.
Okay, wow. Okay. No, that one was good. I think that was on me.
Which, interestingly, is related to my study because cognitive empathy, if you don't know, is the ability to take the perspective of another individual and consider their experience of the world, okay, right? Yes. So for you to have cognitive empathy in that moment would be to like see what I was seeing and why I'm performing it that way. But that's like a very complex form of cognitive
empathy. Or when you're like, I don't know, I could just take or leave doing the podcast at 2:00 and I'm like, how do I cognitive empathize with that one?
Totally. I think that is one of the biggest things. And watching that show, Couples Therapy, you realize the hardest thing about being in a couple and part of therapy is to force you to actively see the other person's perspective. Yeah. And that can totally change everything. But everyone wants their partner to see how they feel. Because you want to be seen first before you're willing to open up and see another person.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this study was looking at what age does cognitive empathy develop in humans. So I have a little experiment I'm going to explain to you, and we're going to see what stage of development you're at.
Oh my God.
Okay. I'm using my name and another person's name for this example.
Okay. Oh my God. So I'm panicking. It's a pop quiz.
So Mitch comes in and puts a sandwich down on a chest and then walks away.
A chest? Like a peck? Like hot peck?
In this scenario, it's with kids, so it's literally a treasure chest. Okay. But just picture it.
Not like a busty bosom.
No, they literally... Oh my God. When I wrote chest, I was actually picturing like a dresser, like a chest.
Yeah, okay.
I was picturing
a couple hot, bouncing titties.
Oh my God. So Mitch's sandwich then gets blown off the chest by wind.
Okay, sorry. Okay. Sam comes
and places their sandwich on the chest exactly where Mitch had placed his.
Okay.
So Sam walks away and Mitch walks back.
Yeah.
Which sandwich will Mitch take?
Does he know it was blown off?
He left the room.
No, he would just take the sandwich on the chest.
Exactly. Okay, so.
Because he doesn't see the one on the ground.
So that is you understanding the idea and concept of false beliefs. And this relates to cognitive empathy. So a 3-year-old does not understand that if he knows something or she knows something, like that Mitch doesn't know it. So a 3-year-old thinks Mitch should know his sandwich is on the ground.
So when Mitch takes that sandwich, he's like, Mitch stole the sandwich.
Literally, the 3-year-old goes, you're mean. You stole the sandwich.
Oh my God, I love that. That's so cute.
I know.
Mom, he took that guy's sandwich.
Yeah, I imagine that was what was happening in the study. So then at 5 years old, you can start to understand. So it's between 3 and 4 that you begin to develop cognitive empathy. Five years old, they do understand that Mitch will think his sandwich is on the chest, even though it's not.
So they get it.
They get it. But like the 3-year-old, they still think it's mean that Mitch stole the sandwich.
Okay. So that's when it's like, okay, you're freaking
You're
weird.
Like in the middle of development.
Like, yo, okay, kid. Like pick a side.
Like you're dumb.
You need that free prefrontal cortex to grow. Yeah. Your 3-year-old self was honestly like cuter.
Yeah. Because it was just totally oblivious.
It's like, oh, so you get it, but you don't even know how to deal with it.
It's so that age when a kid's like, I understand. And you're like, no, you actually don't.
Yeah. You know what, little 5-year-old? I'm saying this to you as a 32-year-old man. You don't get it, babe.
So then it's only at age 7. So you pass the test, Greg, by the way. At age 7 that they understand Mitch can't be held responsible for what he didn't know. And often a 7-year-old's response will be the wind should get in trouble. It's the wind's fault.
Okay. The 7-year-old would blame thine wind.
Truly. Sincerely. But I just thought that was really interesting. The stages of development to realize, oh yeah, we're not just like... When we're young, we don't understand that other people are different than us.
Yeah.
And their perception of the world is different than
us. Yeah, no, that's true. Like hanging out with my nephew. Oh my God, I love him so much. I could squeeze his little body. I love him. That was crazy.
That was crazy.
Like, I see that. It's so cute. It's just like constantly just like, wait, what? Like grappling with the fact that like everyone else is thinking different things. Like it's so interesting. It's honestly so cute.
It is really cute.
He's about 3, so dumbass probably thought the guy stole it. Freaking idiot.
Yeah, you'll see that change in him soon.
Yes. I can't wait to play this out to put sandwiches on chests and push them all over and see.
Except you're putting them on like chests. Craig's obsessed with chests. You were saying titties.
Oh, okay, because you were just kept saying chests over and over. I'm like, which one we talking?
Well, your favorite is like pecs and titties,
the nipple dines. Okay, my what did we learn this week is about potent potables.
Ooh.
Do you know what those are?
Well, I do because I think it was your dad that introduced us to that phrase, right?
And also a Jeopardy category, potent potables.
Okay, but then you realized your dad says that.
Yeah, and whenever he said it, I was like, always like,
Like, what are you talking about?
It means alcohol.
So how will you explain to the lovely listeners?
You're doing it for me. You just did it for me.
Because I'm acknowledging the listeners, and I have to put on a different voice when I want to differentiate.
It's kind of like you're like a magician or something. You know what I mean? Like, I've actually never seen a magic show, so I don't know where that came from. But there's something with the waving of the handkerchief. And like, and then that's what we will see.
It's performative, yeah. And it's also a denotation of when we're having a conversation and when I'm acknowledging that other people are listening to our conversation.
Yes.
Or watching, depending on what they're doing right now.
I find this all fascinating. Hopefully people listening aren't like, what the hell is happening? are they having a stroke? Okay. So 10 million years ago...
Potent potables is alcohol. You said that, right?
Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah. Everyone's like, what is a potent potable? Okay. This is about how we process alcohol and a shift that happened 10 million years ago. Yeah, you know, there's the timeline that we're looking at here, which I love science for these timelines, but they also freak me out because it's like, well, our short lives are meaningless. But But we had a common ancestor with bonobos and chimps. So you can't really picture anything that really looks like a human. It's a common ancestor that 10 million years ago had a mutation in alcohol dehydrogenase, which is the enzyme that metabolizes alcohol in us right now. Mm. And what that mutation did was actually made that enzyme 40 times quote-unquote, better at metabolizing alcohol, and therefore alcohol and fermented fruit became an energy source. So it's like, why would that ever be advantageous? Well, 10 million years ago is around the time when our common ancestors stopped living in trees and started to explore living life on the ground.
Ooh.
And therefore fermenting
needed
fruit.
Needed to get drunk. They were this place sucks down here.
Yeah, they're like, well, they were coping with the sadness.
Also, they probably could be drunk because if you're up in the trees and you fall, that's dangerous.
Death. Okay, well, there, as an evolutionary biologist, you should write that one down, get your PhD, boom, U of T, you got your scholarship. But that's actually a very good point. But what they were saying was more that there would now be fermenting fruits on the ground from all these trees that are now an energy source that they can have.
Cool.
It's a dietary niche that they now get to
exploit
because they're no longer, it's not poisoning them the way it was, but this mutation, they get drunk, yes, but they're no longer getting poisoned. It's actually an active energy source, hence when we drink alcohol, we get drunk, but as if people calorie count, it's a lot of energy.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
So before
before
they would feel sick and potentially if you ate too much, die or something.
Yeah.
And now they can eat it. It's nothing to do with the part of getting drunk. It's just an exploiting of a food.
Energy. So that's why the mutation and the way that evolutionary biology works, like what stayed and was advantageous. And then this is pre-culture where now we actually just use yeast.
Pre-culture
of alcohol.
This is before the culture.
But I mean, that's an interesting question. What is culture? But it's this is pre us actually actively using yeast to ferment fruits for our enjoyment of alcohol to get drunk. You know what I mean? This was actually them being
just natural fermentation.
Now I can eat these rotten fruits and not die.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Very cool. It reminds me unless you have anything else to say, I have the perfect segue to
go.
So I'm not going to bring this up after too much, but related to dreams in the book I read around sleep, they believe that, and I might not be fully remembering this perfectly, but REM sleep developed also with coming down, from living up in trees with primates, because during REM sleep, your body gets paralyzed. So it's very dangerous to be paralyzed up in a tree and not have the functionality of falling out. And so the levels of sleep we developed came more intense as we became sort of land dwelling.
Believe
animals.
We were in trees.
It's so cool to be in a tree.
Really? Are you kidding? I'm nothing about my life is should be in a tree.
But if you had a tail, that'd be cool.
So you you think cool. I honestly think so unnatural. I'm like, how the hell was my common ancestor in 9-3?
Didn't you climb trees as a kid? Didn't you make tree forts and stuff?
Yeah, but nothing about it felt safe. I was always adrenaline junkie, oh my god, and then I get down and titted hoof. I just I thought there'd be be more. I guess people climb rocks. I'm just I thought there'd be more in my life now, but
there's not many. We don't know many people who do that.
What, climb a rock?
Yeah, but but I feel as a kid, and I have an opposite experience of you, I remember climbing trees and not being afraid. Now, whoa, I'm afraid of everything. But at the time, I remember just being like, climbing trees was so fun.
Did you fall out of a tree to be scared of something falling out?
No, I think you grow up. You just become... I just remember distinctly not thinking about it till I was older.
It's so cool that kids walk around and they're like, I'm going to climb that tree. Where, like, mm-hmm. It's like, what a beautiful way of looking at life. Whereas I'm like, that's a tree. Like, I can't climb... I can't climb it.
Well, our bodies also
suck.
Get old. Yeah. And it's apart. Like to lift yourself is way. Like, remember being able to use the monkey bars? Yeah. I remember the age when I began being like, my arm will so get hard. Sucked out of its socket if I do that.
I was looking after my nephew again and was at a playground and he was doing his thing and I was kind of left alone. I was like, oh, I'm going to like try out the monkey bars.
It's so hard.
I almost started crying because I was like, I think that like my body's going to fall and my arm's going to be left there and then pulled out of the socket. Like, blood's going to gush everywhere. And then I got really sad because I was like, am I like so weak?
No, or is it's just a like a body proportion like, thing. Wow. The bigger you get, the harder it is. I remember in grade
my
school.
My sockets are broken.
Yeah, no, it's like painful to do now. We used to have competitions of who could go across across the fastest. And I remember we would whip across and I never thought about my shoulders being like
pulled out. Pulling out.
Whereas now I go on one or two and I'm like, my shoulder's gonna pop.
I never even thought I had a socket. I was just like, they're my arms and they connect to my body and
they can't fall off.
When was the first time?
So much for my segue. I'm like, we're gonna.
Oh, shit. Okay. We gotta go.
Okay, we'll take a little break and then we'll come back for some dreams.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Study time.
Study time. Study time. Study time.
Ah, dreams.
Welcome to our dreamscape episode. We will put you to sleep and at rest.
Do you dream, Mitchell? Do you thine dream, Mitchell?
Imagine I actually said, I've never dreamed ever.
What okay, I would be so sad.
I bet there's some people that have never dreamed.
Have never. Okay. Like, let's stay focused. Do you consider yourself someone who dreams?
You may say
a lot?
I'm a dreamer,
but I'm not the only one. That was gorgeous.
I wouldn't say I'm a heavy dreamer. I have had dreams. And I think in quarantine, I think even in the last handful of months, and we might know why from one of our previous episodes, I've had more dreams than normal.
Really? Okay.
But I tend to remember them right when I wake up and only for about 10 minutes. And I know it's common to forget your dream.
Yes.
I don't know if it's so common in the sense that I will wake up and know the whole dream. And then by the time I go to the bathroom, I fully forget it. Every aspect.
I think that's very relatable.
Okay, so you feel that way too?
I feel that way too. I did, a really basic ass thing, which was like, got a brand new Moleskine. And I wrote on the cover of that Moleskine, dream journal. And I put it beside my bed. And for 1 week, I woke up and, the day. So I just went on a roller coaster. And I wrote out my dreams.
You would write the full.
And I was just like, I am going to lucid dream. That was 4 weeks ago. That was just something that did not stay.
How long did you do it for?
like 1 week.
Oh, okay. And you just got bored of it, do you think? Or it's so
like
much
I
work?
Do. I now do morning pages. I also do 20 minutes of free writing that I was just like, by the I also do my journal of what happened in that day. Like, again, this is very much pandemic energy. Once we open up, girl, these I'm throwing these books into the street because I'm never going to do this again. But adding a dream journal on top of all that was too much. It was the first to go.
That is a lot. And when I was younger, I wanted to lucid dream so bad. Have you lucid dreamed, first of all, period?
No, I've never been in control. You're so annoying. You've never lucid dreamed?
Missed out.
So I have never lucid dreamed, which is when you're in a dream and you have control. And my study is all about this.
Is it?
And you have control over your dream. No, but have I had very extremely vivid dreams? Yes. And in fact, the dream journal was kind of crazy. If you write your dreams out at the beginning, I actually would get to like four pages and be like, I need to stop, because it's just like so much keeps coming up. And then I actually would like in the day forget it. Like, even though I'd written it down, I'd
go
like,
back
what?
And remember it.
And I would go read it and be like, oh yeah. But it's still not as clear. Huh. But you're telling me, I'm so skeptical. I'm like, you're lying to me. You're telling me you've been in a dream and you've controlled thine dream.
Yes. And if you don't
lying
believe me,
through
that's
your
so
freaking no, dentures.
This is so rude, Greg.
I know, I'm so
I'm
annoyed.
Not lying.
Okay, tell
you
me.
You think I'm a person who would just make that up?
No, you're not. I'm just kidding.
I don't
just,
believe
I'm just
in
laughing
a lot
at
of
how
things.
You go from like, I remember none of my dreams, to all of a sudden being like, and I control them when in.
They're so distinct when it happens. And so I didn't go in trying, like, I wasn't aware that I was trying to lucid dream when it happened. I think those experiences prompted me to want to explore that more. But I'd say there's probably been three or four times in my life that I remember where I, in the dream, started to realize I was dreaming and started to control it. But in most cases, I woke up very shortly after. And I've heard that's a common experience because you get too excited. It gets overwhelming, and then your body wakes itself up because you're actually like a heightened sense of adrenaline.
I sometimes
probably.
Have those weird things where you wake up in a dream, like you're like, oh wow, I was dreaming, and then you like start living life, and then you literally wake up and you're like, whoa, like that
a
was
dream
so
within
real.
A dream. Inception.
I dreamed a dream within a dream. Inception. Okay, I'm gonna talk about my study because it actually is so fascinating. It has to do with lucid dreaming. So these people are crazy in this study. I cannot believe how skilled, like, it's okay. I can't get over this study.
Okay.
So they were trying to figure out if while dreaming, that perceived reality was more similar to imagining something, like when you're just like doing some work and then you're like zone out and you're like, I'm imagining myself winning an Oscar or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or if it's more similar to actually when you're awake and you walk down the street and you go to the store. So in your brain, when you're dreaming.
Can you say that one more time for me? Sorry, I just want to like track it. So they're trying to figure out if it's if dreaming is more similar to which of the two
in
things?
When you're dreaming, your brain is acting more similarly to when you're imagining something.
Like daydreaming.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Just kind of like thinking of a scenario
or
in your mind.
Or trying to picture something in your head.
Okay.
Or actually doing something in real life and like going to the convenience store and you're actually just walking to the convenience store as opposed
Got
to
it.
Thinking, I'm going to the convenience store in my head.
Got it.
Which I was like, that's a cool study.
Yeah. Because
I'd never really thought like
about to differentiate that.
Yeah, yeah. So the way that they did this is so fascinating. So there's something called smooth pursuit eye movements, which is when your eye can smoothly track something. Mm-hmm. And you can only really do that when you're looking at a real object. If you try to imagine yourself looking at something and move your eye will have a really hard time not just bouncing all over the place. Like your eye is just like, it needs to be looking at something in order to stay focused.
That is so interesting to think about. Do you ever as a kid look out the window of a car and try and like, you have to like, you can't, it's so hard to.
Oh God, that's like, I honestly was like, I'm going to barf.
But you can't look. Yeah, I think I've done that as a kid. Try to smooth move and you realize your eye always is grabbing onto something every time it goes by the car. You can't just like, unless you fully blur your eyes or like look really far in the distance, your eye's constantly grabbing something.
Exactly. So if someone was like, imagine a ball going from the left of the room to this right and follow the ball with your eye. Imagining your eye will actually have a very hard time and it'll bounce around and it'll all of a sudden be like, I'm actually focusing on that Manfrotto, like light in front of us. So that's so cool. Smooth pursuit eye movements are a sign that you are experiencing something in quote unquote real life.
Huh,
so what they freaking did is they got these skilled lucid dreamers to go to sleep. And what they would be able to do in their dream is they would signal with, because they would have eye tracking devices on, they could signal in their dream with a left, right, left, right. They would go, okay, left, right, left, right, so that the researchers could get the exact time of where they are in their dream, because they're so aware in their dreams. They go like this, dee, 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 and then they start having a dream, and they start tracking them. Then when they get out of the dream, they go, what did you do? Like, were you playing basketball? And the people can tell them so clearly. And then they study the eye movements after the left, right, left, right, and they see, like, are there any smooth pursuit eye movements here, or is it all over the place? And if it's all over the place, it's probably more similar to imagining. And they found there was, like, if the person was dreaming about, like, bird watching, they would see smooth eye movements that kind of track someone looking at a bird.
That's
and
freaky.
They found out that it is, according to this study, it was only 6 people, because not very many people can lucid dream this beautifully, that they found out that it's more similar to a real life experience than your imaginary experiences when you're dreaming.
Wow.
I love it.
I have so many also questions, but that is also like philosophical in a weird way. But I'm like, A, where do you find like expert lucid dreamers? I'm so fascinated. I want to be one. And I also am so curious how the study was like. Maybe they just put out a call for people who claim they can lucid dream.
Like, if you're listening to this, please reach out to us about if you lucid dream and like your like skills for it. Cause I think we want to do another video on ASAP Science explaining it. But the way that they described these people and their ability to lucid dream was fascinating. And I think lucid dreamers are out there, and like they were, I was reading more, like there was like extra information, and these people are, it's a big part of their life. Like it, like they're spending a lot of their life like trying to do this craft. The fact that they could left, right, and then be like, okay, the researchers are going to study this part and then like live in their dream is like mind blowing.
Yeah. That is crazy to like be in someone's dream and know that they're consciously also aware while they're unconscious that they're, I don't know.
That they're even being studied. Like,
it's weird levels of
yeah.
What is existence.
Yeah.
It reminds me, I once saw, and I'm hopefully not going to like butcher this, but there was a TikTok classic, but it was someone talking.
I once saw
this
guys,
profound
a TikTok under 60 seconds.
It was someone explaining some, I think it was a Hindu philosophy around what, like who you are and what your conscious is. And it talked about how, I don't even know if I
was trying to say this. Oh my God, you lost it.
I'm so embarrassed. No, it was this idea of even when you're dreaming, you believe that is you. There is a sense of, it was like trying to separate, like you always believe that's you. When you're dreaming, you feel it's reality. Yes. You don't know it's not. Yes. But there's like, it was trying to describe that in all of these realities.
This is a TikTok?
I need to find it. Like,
No, sorry. I'm just like, this is like so deep.
I saved it. It was profound. I was like, that. I honestly was like,
I didn't let you finish.
Yeah, and I'm kind of don't want you to let me finish because I know I'm going to ruin it. And I know I'm just, you know, when you start something and I'm like, I literally heard the most profound thing. And now I.
Imagine you woke up right now and this was
ew, that's gross.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up Loud. There's so many songs about dreams.
I constantly think about that
happening.
Yes, and being like, wow, that I'm back in university.
You don't have a podcast.
And I haven't met you yet.
ASAP Science doesn't exist.
And this is all.
You constantly think about that?
That's a thing I think about all the
time.
Like,
this is a lucid dream.
This is not a lucid dream.
No, I know, but you think that this could be?
Sometimes I am like, when you die, this is also kind of what Inception is like at the end of your dream life, then you wake up and then you realize it was a dream.
I iconically never understood Inception. At the end, when the spinning top didn't fall, like I remember in the theater, the person beside me was like, "Wow!" And I was like, "Wait, what?
Can we rewatch it? I love Inception."
Like when the credits came after the spinning top not falling, I was like, "How is that? What does that mean? Is that the end?" I thought the only reason I was just like, it was cool when like that, like when the like room went sideways.
Oh,
I'm like,
my God,
I like that, but I don't know what the hell we're doing here, what we're talking about.
It was just to leave that question of, did he ever get out? Is he still in that dream world?
Dreaming? It's just like a dream.
Because you still don't, until the all I think you still don't see his kid's face, or you do at the end, finally.
I like Memento. I like Dunkirk. I like linear Christopher Nolan movies. That one, I was like, he's trying really hard.
No, Inception's actually a really good movie.
No, I know. Isn't it the number one most like loved movie of
all
time?
It's a perfect example of like a Hollywood huge budget action film also being kind of interestingly
about like that 1 minute TikTok you watched.
Yes, literally. Whereas his more recent one, I'm forgetting the name right now.
Tenet.
That was a mess. Enjoyable, but absolutely a mess. And
I
was
that.
Truly, sincerely realizing all the tropes in action movies, because when you don't understand the plot at all, you suddenly realize, oh, clearly I'm supposed to be excited at this point, and this is the turning point.
The
I don't,
music.
Dun, dun, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. I'd be like, I don't know what's happening, but I know the stakes are high. And then I'd be like, I know now the twist is happening right now, but I don't know what the twist is.
I love thinking about how the actors on that set probably wish they could wake up from a dream. They're probably like, are we going to be in the first bomb flop of a movie that
think,
is Tenet?
What's his name? The young cute guy? Robert Pattinson. I think that he in an interview he was like, I didn't understand it while we were filming.
That is like the male bravado of Hollywood. Like, of course there's just like this random dude who could like get like millions of dollars, use so much energy to make a story where everyone's like, does anyone get this? And there's like no one chimes in and is like, notes, honey, notes.
Like, could someone? Yeah, anyway.
Oh my God, I love that. Imagine a woman trying to make a movie like that. I'm sorry, but like there's injustices in this world.
Whatever. To be fair, my criticism of that also comes with the appreciation that he's trying. And I know there are lots of conversations around Christopher Nolan being like very pretentious and not very nice to work with, is what I've heard.
And it's like, do it, but
I do want to
so
say
much money and like make
or
it a
do.
Small
I'm glad he at least there's a lot of giant Hollywood budget films that don't even try to push the boundary of anything. And I think once you read about it, you're like, this is an interesting concept. And he tried, and I don't think it came together, but it was cool. And thank you for trying to do something different, and it failed. And I'd rather someone push and fail than just get the same cookie cutter movies over and over.
Whoa,
and over.
We've got a Christopher Nolan apologist over here.
Okay, whatever.
You are a stan of him.
I am
so
a stan.
So it's like every single like white man. Okay, so
what did you call me?
I am definitely the white man. I'm trying so hard not to like Inception so I don't seem basic. I'm like, actually, as a white man, don't even get it. When I think about dreaming, my most common like triggering dream is going up a roller coaster. Like spending a lot of day at a theme park going up. I was obsessed with Canada's Wonderland. It was like truly my joy. Like my mom would take me like once a year and I would like wouldn't be able to sleep before. More important than Christmas morning, in my opinion.
Aww,
to go
cute.
To like roller coasters, like where my freaking dream. And so a lot of my are going up the roller coaster, and right as I'm about to go down and enjoy the thrill that is thine roller coaster, boom, wake up.
Oh. So maybe that's the exciting thing. It's like when you realize you're lucid dreaming and then your body gets too excited that it wakes itself
up.
Oh,
it's like I literally, and then I piss the bed.
Oh.
And then I wet the bed.
People do that too, like sleepwalking is so fascinating. I kind of wish now, like I have some things about why we dream, but I wish I looked into sleepwalking. I'm so fascinated by that. Because in REM sleep, your body typically is paralyzed, which is why some people wake up and have night terrors because they're still dreaming, but their body isn't working. So their eyes open and we should talk about that. Actually.
Once I went, I was a camp counselor, and one of the kids got down from the bunk in the middle of the night. They always made me in charge of like the littlest kids. I always thought it was like a little homophobic. I'm like, what? You don't think I can shoot this shit with 13-year-olds? I always had to be like, it's okay, little honey, and like deal with all the wet sleeping bags. Like, everyone's pissing their pants everywhere. They were all so cute. I actually really like loved it. But there was this kid, and he got down from the bunk, and it was just so off. Like, and I was just like, I don't know, like Charlie, like what's up? And he just like looked at me, and I was like, oh my God. And then he opened the door of the cabin and went outside. And I was like, is he sick? Like what? And I was kind of like, Charlie, like I didn't want to like, I don't know. It was really weird. I didn't figure out what was going on. I was like, what are you doing? He walks around the cabin, starts walking towards the lake. And I was like, Charlie. And then I just grabbed him. And then he like looked at me and he was like, oh, what? And I was like, oh my God. And he was so young. I think he was like 7.
What would have happened if you weren't there?
Exactly. I didn't want to be like, oh, you were sleepwalking. I was like, oh, let's just go back in the cabin. He was like, oh yeah, we should go back in the cabin. And he went back in the cabin, went to bed, and I was just like, oh, from that point forward, I was like, we gotta keep an eye on Charlie.
You couldn't sleep ever again.
Charlie's cursed.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so scary. Have you ever Sleepwalk? How do you say that in
no,
the past
never.
Tense?
I'm freaking out on that bed.
I have, but never very far. Like, I definitely have gotten out of my bed. So
you sat up and went, the bus!
Okay, I'm going to bring this up. So for, especially in university and late high school, I had a lot of night terrors. It developed like in high school where I would wake up, often be paralyzed, see things in my room. And then for, you know, the 10 seconds you have like a demon sit on your chest and you wake up gasping for air and then everything's gone.
It's like
but
the
you're there.
Famous painting the nightmare. Which
it is. I think it's a really common experience. Okay. So, but what I need the audience to diagnose me with something, or I want to know if other people have experienced this. So a lot of times with you, even in the bed, I've woken up and I've seen a bus in our room and I would be like, the bus, we have to get on the bus. But in my mind, like my eyes are open, we're in our room and I'm still dreaming. And that's one type of thing that happens.
Wait,
where
wow.
It's not like I'm dreaming in a different world. I'm dreaming in our room.
How do you know you're dreaming in our room?
Because then when the moment it stops, the room is the same except for all the dream elements.
True. And as we just found out, in your brain, dreaming is more similar to reality than imagining. So it makes sense that you could just like be so real.
Yeah,
there.
It just is like there's stuff in the, and it used to be terrifying. Sometimes I would wake up and there would be spiders all over the wall. And then I would be like freaking out and seeing them. And then eventually they'd just go away. It's like my brain was still
that
dreaming,
so
but my
scary.
Eyes were open. Oh my God, it was the scariest thing. Anyway, there's another kind of thing that, and I've heard a lot of people have that kind of experience, but there's this other thing that happens to me and I'm like, should I be sharing this with strangers? It's not weird or private, but I'm like, you know, when you're like, do I have a problem? Where I wake up, but I'm not awake, I'm dreaming, and I start to engage and talk to inanimate objects, either in the room or I think I'm talking to someone in the basement. Sometimes what? I get up and stand up and talk.
Wait, what basement?
Like in our basement. I'll be upstairs standing.
Mitch, we don't have a basement.
No, so it's like I am dreaming that this thing's happening and I don't realize it. And then in the morning, I wake up and go, I remember getting up and thinking I was talking to the closet.
Okay, but so you remember talking to the random
and it was visually the closet, but contextually
to
me...
Is the closet like, hello there, Mitch? And then I love that you put clothes in
me. I don't see... There's no movement because I'm actually seeing what I'm seeing.
But when you're talking to it, what are you... Like, is there not like a plot behind
it? I don't know. It's so confusing. You know how dreams are so weird? It's like... There's no reason or rhyme. I'm not in this version. I'm not hallucinating anything. I'm just putting like an energy or a belief or an emotion into something and having an interaction with it. And sometimes that thing is not in the room, but I'm somehow think I'm communicating to it.
Wow.
But it's like a weird dream state. And I'm so curious if anyone else experiences that. Where it's
if Joseph almost... from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat could reach out and diagnose the meaning of that one.
Wait, why him?
Because that's the plot of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, one of the best musicals of all time. He reads dreams. Have you not watched it?
I know. I absolutely hate that musical.
And that is one of the biggest issues in our relationship. Maybe you're talking to your closet for something to do with gay reasons.
No, I just said the closet as an example. It could be a couch. It could be the dresser. It could be something else in the house. And I have not come across anyone else in my personal life that I've talked to about that had that exact experience, but there must be other people that experience.
So reach
that.
On out if you also talk to your couch.
We've gone on lots of tangents. I'm going to bring up, mine's not a study,
it's called
but...
called Side Note for a reason, hun. Don't
feel
true. Shame.
Oh, yeah. And actually, a lot of people have said nice things. They're like, I love when you go on the side notes and tangents. So, okay, here we are. You got your wish, okay? But I'm bringing it back to the science because I want to talk about why we dream and what they actually mean from a neurological perspective. And this is from some of the, like, it's not a specific study, but this is from my sort of favorite sleep scientist, Matthew Walker. He's wrote the book Why We Sleep, which absolutely transformed my life.
Ooh, really?
Changed me. And I want to read it again. Yeah, it's just so fascinating. It's so interesting. He often says how sleep, it's like we sleep for 12 hours.
If you're lucky.
Sorry, I meant...
Who the hell sleeps for 12 hours?
I didn't mean to say 12 hours. Oh. I meant to say, whatever, 8 hours, but it's like such,
even if you're lucky.
Well, it's such a... Humans and animals, like, Ernie sleeps way more than that.
Oh, I see. It's like, we spend so much time sleeping, why not learn so much about it?
And it's like, clearly, insanely important if this evolutionary trait, it's like almost every, I think every organism on Earth has some form of sleep. And so it would be such a mistake because you're not only vulnerable, like you can't be eating, you can't be doing all these things while you're sleeping. So obviously there's such something an really essential important. Function to why we sleep, which is only really starting to be discovered now. And maybe I said this the other week, I only realized like MRIs and those kind of brain scans were really only developed in the 90s. And so
the one good thing that came out of the frickin' 90s.
So it's like we're really getting to see inside brains in a different way than we ever had before, to be able to like scan them, see how blood's flowing, be able to pick up like the different waves that are coming off.
No, that's true. It's such a vulnerable state. Of course, it's like super necessary.
So let's just quickly talk about, you know, you have your different sleep stages. You have light sleep and then you slowly enter like stage two, which is another form of light sleep. And then there's deep sleep. And
wait, that's where isn't that REM? Which
one's
REM?
So REM is like stage four.
And by that we mean rapid eye movement.
So rapid eye movement is when you dream, but you have to go through your light sleep stages and then you go through deep sleep, which is sort of restorative and where a bunch of different other brain processes happen. So in deep sleep, that's when you're basically saving your memories is how they would say it. It's like deep sleep is consolidating the things that have just happened in your day and imprinting them into your brain. Cool. It strengthens memories. So people who lack deep sleep suffer from memory disorders, perhaps, or like getting deep sleep is important for that. And I have memory problems, so like, who knows?
You're spending too much time talking to your closet. You gotta get into deep sleep.
Literally, I know. So then REM has been known. So this is when you dream. You only dream in REM sleep, although sometimes I'm like, I swear I'm dreaming outside of that. Like sometimes I fall asleep instantly and feel like
I'm dreaming. Like when you have like a cat nap?
Yeah, I feel like they would often say it takes too long for you to get to your dream stage, so I need to talk to a sleep specialist.
You're like, Matthew Walker, we need to have a chat.
I have some corrections. But REM and dream sleep, they believe, is for two specific reasons now. One, it's tied to creativity of the brain, and the second is a form of emotional aid. Interesting, right?
Okay, wait. You do a little mic drop with your hand. I'm like, okay. I thought they'd be less arbitrary. Like, creativity to me as a word is so arbitrary.
So let me explain the creativity then. So in the way that deep sleep forms your memories, the way that Dr. Walker explains this is that REM sleep is sort of informational alchemy. So it's when your brain starts making connections across different spaces.
Okay.
So in terms of creativity, it allows for you to think of things in different ways. It's often why people say sleep on your problems, because when you sleep and go through REM, your brain is making literal connections. So it's not creativity. I mean, obviously it's linked to true creativity of being able to be artful and whatever, but creativity in solving math or science problems as well as to sleep on a problem. Your brain actually finds new ways to make connections that it does not make if you don't go through REM sleep.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And it's kind of like I find when I'm trying to be creative, like if I'm painting or writing or doing something, it can be really hard when you try like to force yourself to be creative. It's like it really is so annoying how like every like podcast where someone's like, they're like, how do you write your book? And they're like, well, you know, it just comes to you on a walk. Or like everyone's moment of like
is not necessarily when
breakthroughs
they...
it feels like it's maybe a little bit like, I don't know why I have to roll my eye at every common like pattern I see or hear, but it's like I'm just critical of everything. But it feels like there's this idea that these things come when you're not actively forcing it. And I have found that in a frustrating way, like as someone who likes schedule and things, like when I schedule in free write for 20 minutes, like that's an active thing that like does something, but it's not in those moments that the creativity, it's like that kind of does something. And then later when I'm not thinking,
it's like
I'm
when?
Like, whoa, like, and I'm just like, okay, that's kind of when you say creativity and sleep, that makes sense to me. Cause you're not forcing anything, but your brain is doing this thing and it's using all your skills and your perceptions from the day.
Yeah,
to be creative.
I guess you could kind of relate it to fitness in that, of course, when you're working out, you're building muscle, but it's actually outside of that time. That's why you need rest days between certain muscle groups, because it's actually in the downtime that your muscles are creating and connecting new fibers and building up new muscle. So you're stimulating them, but then you actually need the other time to complete the cycle of what happens when you build a muscle. So in a similar way, REM is literally making all these associations and unique things that wouldn't have been obvious to you in your waking life that start to become more clear when you sleep properly.
That's cool.
So that's number one. So the second part, well, I also want to say, interesting fact, only around 5% of dreams they've quantified are sort of reliving experiences of your actual life.
Oh, really?
So most of your dreams are much more, you know, I don't want to say metaphorical, but like obviously we have weird
I'm not
dreams.
At Canada's Wonderland when I'm on a roller coaster. I'm at a made up freaking
yeah,
theme park.
And it's probably when you start to put it together, it doesn't fully make sense, but it feels like it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, true.
And so what they see though in the other, you know, vast majority of dreams is that there's sort of a connective thread to the emotions and concerns of your life.
I will say I have been dreaming so much about my friends and family more than ever because I'm like, I'm missing.
Yeah. Yeah. You probably think, yeah, it's like you're dealing with emotions.
Yeah.
Probably.
In the past, I wouldn't dream as much about my friends and family because they were like
that's
a staple in my life. And I would dream about like, I don't know why I can't get over theme parks, but like eating a funnel
you're
cake.
Obsessed.
Or just like, it would just be so like I just have so many dreams about my family. Like just like hanging out with them, and just because I like miss them, I don't know. I'm here. I am becoming Joseph and the Taser and with the dream coat myself.
I weirdly have not had really dreams of friends and family. I feel like my dreams have been odd and weird and like
any that you can remember.
Not
like a
really
virus chasing
right
dying?
In this moment on the spot. I can't, but I just feel like I have been waking up and having very bizarre dreams and then I forget them. But in the moment, I'm like, that was weird. Like, what was that about? And so it kind of ties to this. It probably represents something. It's not like I'm working through a specific scenario, but maybe the emotions and concerns attached to the dream is what it. So this is what it has to do with mental aid or emotional health. Basically, noradrenaline is a chemical that is released in your brain that is similar to adrenaline in the rest of the body, but it is only not released at one time, whether you're awake or sleeping, and that's in REM. So the only time it's not cycling in your body is when you go into REM.
Oh my God, that's so cool, because noradrenaline is such a like specific like hormone, and it's like that. Wow.
And so as a result, brain imaging studies show that when you go into REM, the emotional and memory parts of your brain start firing, but there's no noradrenaline.
That's what I feel like sometimes when I'm like, Greg, have a creative thought for once in your goddamn freaking life. It's like noradrenaline's firing in my brain. I'm like, I can't think of anything differently.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I've got an idea. Maybe like the pandemic's hard. Like, it's just like, I can't think of anything.
Such a unique thought.
Like, maybe I should tweet for Maze Up Science that the pandemic seems hard on everyone.
It's like
I'm like, noradrenaline, get out.
It is. Yeah. It's just, and obviously you need these stress hormones. They're useful for many situations. But the belief now is that sleep is like a form of mental therapy. It basically allows you to relive emotions and scenarios
without
the stress hormones cycling at the same time.
And that's so cool.
And as a result, it's like a safe space with the emotion stripped, so you can see it from an objective point. And then when you're back in your waking life, those emotions are not as stressful. And even scenarios that have happened to you that felt stressful before, you remember them as stressful, but they don't have the same weight anymore.
Know what? Dreams are a safe space.
They are.
Dreams are a safe space.
It's actually also really similar to, you know how there's MDMA therapies now where
you bet I did. No, I'm kidding. I've never done that. And I haven't done MDMA in so long because if I had been in a pandemic at home, I just think that's not the best way.
In trials, this isn't like a common accessible therapy, but they'll give someone MDMA and then try and go through hard, whether it be traumatic or just really difficult emotions, because you've sort of stripped, you're in a really different mental space,
you're
a positive
away the
mental
stress.
Space. Yeah.
The serotonin's flowing.
You can objectively view that experience in a positive light. And the theory is that that adapts your brain to not have so much stress around that scenario.
My trauma is that once I was late for a Lorde concert, so I really think I need to like process
go
that while
that
on MDMA.
And this is why PTSD patients often, so they have too much noradrenaline that they continually want to continually have dreams of their trauma. And so that's actually one of the criteria.
That makes sense.
So one of the criteria to be diagnosed with PTSD is recurring nightmares. And so the belief there is that there's too much noradrenaline. You're reliving the trauma and not getting that effect.
So when you have REM sleep, even if it's a nightmare, no noradrenaline?
That's based what, based on what I've heard and read from Matthew Walker. Obviously,
okay,
obviously,
you're
nightmares.
On me with Matthew Walker.
I know, I'm obsessed. I actually am obsessed.
Is he hot?
Him. He's cute. Yeah.
Well, if you got a good brain, that's all that matters.
Exactly. He's got a really good
brain.
For
those of you working on your summer body, it's like, well, you better be reading books at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Like, we also, you know, there's more than just the body.
I love how that snuck its way in.
Well,
but
I
truly.
Mean, it's true. Have you ever seen a hot person that's titillated yourself with the brain? It's rare, and when it happens,
and
that's
an
explosion of noradrenaline.
It is an explosion of
adrenaline.
Yeah. And all of
endorphins, dopamine,
oxytocin,
serotonin,
all that kind of stuff. Anyway, I just thought that kind of helps to explain why we dream and what they mean. Obviously, the context of your dreams can be very confusing, but they believe that the emotions you're experiencing is so your body. It's therapy. Dreams are a form of therapy.
I'm crying. I thought my study was cool, but
no, that's both so cool. I actually want to get back into trying to lucid dream. There, you're right. It's so much work. It's actually so much work, but it would be cool and fun. And why not have a second life?
The way I do it is that I eat weed, and then when I don't eat weed, I lucid dream because that's a literal symptom of what happened.
But you said you haven't lucid dreamed.
Sorry, I vivid dream. I vividly dream. I guess you're right. I've never lucid dreamed. I think that's part of it is that, like, I think if I had an experience of lucid dreaming, it would be easier for me to, like, find the time to do my dream journals because I'd be like, let me get, but I've never come close.
I was going to ask, do you have nightmares very often?
Not that often. And to be honest, I freaking love them because there's nothing better than waking up from a nightmare and then having reality be such a relief. Like, usually it's like I'm having a really amazing dream. I'm like hanging out with Robin. We're like listening to the song Honey. And she's kind of looking at me like, Greg, like, I really love your input on my next album. I'm like, wow, I'm like creatively helping Robin work on her next album. And then I wake up and I'm like in my bed and I don't know Robin. And I'm like, wow, this sucks.
Yeah, that's
whereas
true.
Like when I have a nightmare, I like wake up and I'm just like, oh my God, thank God. So often I have nightmares about being underprepared for an exam.
That's true.
So like so often it's like you didn't do your homework. You're going to an exam, like literally like a biochemistry exam. I'm freaking out. I wake up. Oh, the sweet relief. I jump out of bed with a pep in the step. I skip to the shower. I put it on cold instead of hot. And I'm just like, ooh, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't even have an exam. I haven't been in school in 10 freaking years, hon. I'm blasting Britney first thing in the morning.
That's true. No, I didn't think of it that way because I don't like nightmares. And I thought it was psychotic of you to be like, nightmares are great. But you're right. The relief of a nightmare and the pain of a good dream ending can actually sometimes be really painful when you mourn the loss of this amazing experience.
I swear to God, it's like there's been times in my perceived life on this earth where like Bjork has appreciated my opinion on something like creative. Like that's a dream.
That is
literally true. It was only a dream and it's a true dream.
I feel that.
Imagine Bjork cared about
me. Mine are truly being on Survivor and I wake up and then I'm like... I'm not.
Exactly. That's so hard. But it was probably so fun while you were on Survivor in the dream.
I know, but it's like I didn't get to go far enough because I didn't get to explore the dream till the end. It's
that's
so
the
sad.
Roller coaster of it all.
I know. The roller coaster of life.
Oh my God. I love
so
dreams. That's
badly.
So cool.
I'm going to find it for you, Greg. Maybe in the next episode. That TikTok I was talking about actually was so profound.
But I also love, like, I
to not remember
stop
it.
The tapes, everyone. I was, I would love if you're like, I was reading like the captions on the TikTok.
Oh my God.
It's
so
that's
the,
whatever. It's life now. We have been absolutely obliterated violently that now 1 minute is our cutoff for attention. It's just the way the world is.
And it, I can't be that hard on myself. It's truly, I only saw this thing for 1 minute once.
Yeah, and you read books and you watch long movies and don't go on your phone.
I'm smart.
So it's like we have balance, but sometimes we do get sucked into Vounced app In a horrifying way. I will say. TikTok is insane. We need to do an episode on TikTok, actually.
If you could have... I was trying to think of, like, would you rather live in a perfect dream world than regular life?
Hell no.
Wait,
I'm confused.
There's actually a beautiful... This one I'll remember.
It's a TikTok?
No. This is, like, Alan Watts, okay? So there's a scenario he tries to paint that's, like, a famous... I don't know if it's a Buddhist philosophy, but it's a story that someone tells where it's, like, if you could design your perfect dream... every night.
Okay.
And you would live a whole life.
What?
In that dream.
Okay.
You would start by making it everything you ever wanted to do, right? You give yourself the perfect life.
Okay.
Over in this dream, you'd get all the success you want or money or just experiences and all that. And then you'd wake up and then you might do that for a while, but eventually you'd get bored of having the perfect life. So you'd start to give yourself dreams where there was a little more variability. You didn't always have control, where like things started
to go
wrong.
I'm not always going to the theme park. Yeah, I'm bored of the roller coaster.
There's stakes of like some things don't work out in life. And if you keep following that line of thinking, you realize your perfect dream is your regular life. Okay. Like ultimately... Being in a world where not everything works out is kind of a beautiful thing
that we have to appreciate. That's beautiful. But I will say my answer to the first question was like, I don't want to be in a dream.
But what's the difference between a dream and reality? If you can't tell, you've even said dreams.
No, sorry. I don't want to be. My instinct is to be like, I don't want to be in a perfect dream.
Ew, what if it is a dream? But if it's a dream, it's my dream. And then it's like, I shouldn't even ask you the question. You know?
Yeah, like, honey, girl, I'm the main character. Ew, You're in my dream, bitch.
I hate that. That actually messes with my brain.
You're in my freaking dream,
Because I know it can't be your dream because I know I'm here.
Yeah, but I know that you're just saying that because you're in my dream and you're just, like, making that up.
And likewise, you're just saying that now. So I have to reconcile with, are you real or are you a dream? This is what I mean. I think about this all the time.
So people listening to this podcast, are they real?
No.
I'm
the only real one.
Whoever's listening to this is a part of my dream.
But then they wouldn't have any consciousness, so you don't even need to say that. Everything's only centered around you. Unless it's not a dream, and then we're all just here.
True. Okay, cool. Well, make sure you subscribe to comment down below.
Okay, yeah, we got to know, had those weird dreams that I've had? What kind of dreaming do you do? What do you take from your dreams? I know there are, and this is not super sciencey, but there's lots of people who interpret dreams in different ways to mean certain things. And obviously people take that extreme length of like believing... like things that will happen in the future, but there are other people that use their dreams even to kind of almost as a form of active therapy to think about what is my brain, or to use it as a form of
valid.
Almost the way people use astrology to like kind of to ask themselves questions about their lives, think about their lives, and I'd be interested to know how people. I find that fascinating. I know we are these kind of like science minded people, and I think about it from like a neurological perspective. But I do still get curious and fascinated. In the same way I'm curious and fascinated by aliens and these ideas of like someone did tarot cards for me one time and I was like, that was real. sometimes when people like explain dreams, I'm like, ooh, okay, tell me what my dreams mean. So I can appreciate that even though I know there isn't much science to really like support it. But that doesn't mean it's not real necessarily.
So... Yeah, so subscribe to Sign Up My ASAP Science and reach out to Mitch with some dream reading. And look forward to our episode on tarot cards where we will have a debate.
Okay. See ya.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.